This is Just Talking It Up with Janet and Crash.
Well, we're back and we're glad you're back with us. We're just talking it up, and I'm Janet, and I'm here with my buddy who I like to hang out with and learn something new about life every single time. How are you today, Crash?
Janet, I am doing well. Looking forward to being with you as always. Boy,
wow.
We've had a lot of things happen in this old world, but let's continue to talk about some of the things that are very meaningful.
Listen, we've been looking at colleges for my daughter. She's been looking at all these schools. So anyway, yesterday we're in the car. We're coming back from one of these universities, and I don't listen to country music very much, but she does. She loves country music, and so we were listening to country music, and this song comes on, and I'm telling you, I had to double check on what station we were on, but there's this song. I don't know if you know anything about it. It's called "If I Could Have a Beer with Jesus."
Interesting that you mentioned that. You know, I do listen to country music.
I knew you would know something about it. I knew it.
I have heard the song. And as a matter of fact, when I first heard it, I was just a tad shocked at the title, you know, coming from a fairly traditional background. But then I listened to the song a couple of times, and I was absolutely blown away by what it says and how it says it.
So you really do know about this thing. I actually listened to it, and it's actually a very nice song.
Well, it's not only a nice song, but I personally like the attitude of the guy that sang. I don't even know who sang it. What's the guy's name? I've never heard of him.
Thomas Rhett.
Thomas Rhett.
It made me nearly pull over, and I had to pay attention to who was doing what. But I'll tell you, I did look into this and a little bit, and I talked with some different people that I knew would give me a couple of different opinions.
Right.
And this apparently has caused some kind of a firestorm. There is a part of the Bible Belt, of course, Bible Belt, they're going to be offended at everything. It's just, in my mind, some of these people are just a bunch of rednecks. But some of these people have such strong opinions about using the name Jesus in anything. And, of course, they may use the name Jesus in a terrible way when they hit their thumb with a hammer by accident on
right.
Saturday afternoon when they're working on their car. But don't bring Jesus into a song and give him a beer. That ain't right.
Hey, I know a few of those folks myself.
Well, there are some people with some very strong opinions about it. And I did speak with one lady who, and I understand how she feels. I know how she feels. Her expression was, she said, this is bringing my holy Jesus into a situation and into a realm that is offensive to me because it takes away from his holiness and his purity.
Whoa.
And I let her talk. And I just listened for a few minutes. And I do understand. I understand. I get it. It's not that I agree or disagree with her, but I get it, how she could think that. So what do you think?
Well, let's go back and ask a base question. Do you think Jesus would have a beer with that guy?
You asking me?
Yeah. What do you think?
I have to think about it.
Well, all right. I've thought about it. Now, here's coming from a guy who is a non-drinker, okay? But I look back and I say he turned water into wine, so he probably had a little bit of it to drink, right?
Oh, that's every Baptist's argument about why they should be able to drink. Well, Jesus turned water into wine at the wedding.
Well, okay, but it also says do not be drunk with wine. But here's, go back and look to some degree, and I don't know all the words, but here's what I came away with in listening to that song a few times. I believe it's more spiritual and scriptural and doctrinally sound than many church services I go into. And this guy, here's what this guy's saying. I want to know some things. Tell me something. How did you turn the other cheek? How did you save a sorry soul like me? You know, do you listen to me? Were you here at the beginning? When are you coming back? What's the future all about? How do I tell people about you and get them to listen and understand? What's heaven like? you know, how do I make a connection with you? As I recall, he said he wants to get a beer and he wants to go over in the corner and he doesn't want to be able to look at the clock. I get kind of chills as I think about this, but think about what I think Jesus wants from us. He wants undivided attention. He wants the ability to talk and have our eyes look at his and our hearts be aligned with his. That's what this guy's saying in this song.
Yeah, but do you think that a country artist who I'm not sure what his repertoire is, how much what his other songs are like, the same guy that may be singing about cheating with his neighbor's wife or, you know, or sleeping with his girlfriend or whatever, do you think this is the guy that needs to be delivering the message?
I think anybody who has the heart that I think comes through in that song ought to be delivering the message.
But you know what? At the end of this song, after listening to it, when I came home last night, I listened to it again to make sure I understood what I thought I had understood. And it is a little haunting for me for one reason. This person, while he may sound like every man, it's a little troubling that he acts as though, gee whiz, if I could just get him to hear me, if I could just be a friend of his, that all of that is available. He never solves that at the end. There's no solution here that, you know what, you already are. You can have a beer with Jesus. You have a beer with Jesus probably every time you pour a beer.
Here's my response to that. I bet you in the course of the conversation, Jesus would tell him that. But here's a guy who's seeking. As you look at, let's say that I'm a Christian, you're a Christian. One of the things that we do and believe in is that we need to be able to not beat anybody over the head about our faith, not try to wrestle them to the ground, but to be prepared to share the hope that's within our heart. And that's what the Bible says. So when we engage someone for the first time, we have no idea where they are in terms of their understanding, their willingness to look at any sort of faith discussion. So the first thing is to find out where they are. Now, obviously, you would say, okay, Jesus knows where this guy is because he knows he's all-knowing, he's omniscient, he's omnipresent, all of these things. But this, in a 2.5 minute, he's trying to get across a message in 2.5 minutes that can't take into account everything from a doctrinal perspective. But if you look at the four basic questions that most people have, where did I come from? Where am I going when I die? Is there any purpose in my life? And what are the rules by which I should live my life? This guy in this particular song touches on about three of those. Because he talks about the origin of Jesus, his salvation.
But he doesn't answer any of them. He only asks all the questions. Everybody asks the questions.
But, you know, in an apologetic, I think in discussing something with someone, if you have 2.5 minutes with someone, do you think you'd be able to answer all the questions about from a doctrinal perspective? If that's a rhetorical question, my answer is no. And our job, I think, would be to ask questions maybe that cause people to think. And this is exactly what I think this guy's doing here.
Do you think he's like an evangelist that wants to find a different way to reach people?
You know, I sense that he's a young man with a heart to know. He wants to know. He wants Jesus to meet him where he's comfortable, and he's comfortable having a beer. And he's saying, Jesus, are you so far above me that you won't have a beer with me? Or are you at my level? Can I talk to you? I'm comfortable here. Are you? Now, I'm going to focus on you. I'm going to put you in a corner where nobody's going to come over and try to say, like the other day when we were with James. We were in a corner, but as you noticed, everybody who came by wanted to come and talk to him or get his autograph or whatever, but it left him alone. I think here's what He's saying, I want your entire focus. I'll focus on you. You focus on me. Let's don't worry about the time. I don't want to look at the clock. I'll get you as much as you want to drink. Please just sit with me and talk to me. I've got some questions to ask you. Boy, I think that Jesus looks at this song and says, man, have you ever more hit what I'm trying to get across to the world today?
But all he's done is ask questions. I don't know that Jesus is trying to get everybody to ask questions. We all do ask questions.
Well, I think he is trying to get everybody to ask questions. And
ask them enough to look for an answer. This is in my mind. This song is like a fella in a burning house, and he can't see anything, and he's crawling around in circles, saying, "If I could only find the wall, if I could only find the door." Well, you're crawling in circles. Crawl straight for a few minutes, and you'll at least find a wall. You might find a door. Then at the end of the song, he's singing, "Well, if I could just find a wall." It doesn't really solve any. It doesn't solve anything.
It's circular.
Yeah.
Let's say that there's a follow-up song. Hey, I think I'm going to do it. I'm going to write a follow-up song to this thing, and I'll get the words to it, and I'm going to get it from Jesus' side. Okay, I'm going to make that commitment to do it. I'm in trouble. But we haven't heard Jesus speak.
Well, that's right, but. Well, it is interesting that he says, if I could have a beer with Jesus, rather than if Jesus could have a beer with me.
I think we're parsing words there. I'm not sure that makes any difference. If we could have beer together. Now, see, if I could have a beer with Jesus, I know this is going to sound wussy, but I'd probably have a Diet Coke. I just have never been interested in or have the taste for something like that. But it doesn't make any difference. What can I do to get you to talk with me, Jesus? Listen to me, friend. Let me ask you a few questions. Tell me the answer, and I'm willing to do anything in the world to listen to what you have to say. What's wrong with that? I don't understand how you could see that there's any problem with his position, his attitude. Listen, I wish we could play it and then come back and listen to it again. I mean, and talk about it again. But listen to the guy's attitude. It's humble. He's not trying to be some big deal. He's just saying, "Help me. I want to talk to you."
Well, I don't think everything has to be wrapped up and solved and nice with a nice bow on the box at the end of it. That's not what I intend at all. I think it's a well-written song, and I think it's interesting that he sings it. And I what's even more interesting to me is that it is getting so much airplay. It's apparently a pretty popular song. It's going pretty fast. I don't know that it's a hit with a bullet, but it's getting a lot of airtime. So, mm-hmm. But it some of the controversy is amazing to me, and it reminds me of where I live. And I say controversy only because in looking at some of the few things that I kind of pulled up on the internet last night, just trying to figure some of this stuff out before I even asked you about it, there are some people with some very strong opinions.
Yeah, thanks. Why didn't you call me and tell me what you were going to ask me instead of...
Because I always like to, I have told our audience how bright you are and how brilliant you are, and I knew you would know something about this.
I'm about as bright as a 2-year-old 60-watt bulb.
Oh, if you ever knew how smart you were, then you'd probably stop being smart. So that's a good thing. But when I looked at it, there are a couple of blogs out there that have really pushed pretty hard on it and said that this is, you know, why do we keep dumbing down Jesus? We have marginalized him once again. Instead of allowing him to be the holy creator of the universe, we have brought him into our midst, put him in a pair of jeans and dirtied him up as much as we can so we can feel better about ourselves.
Please, I would absolutely love to have 40 minutes to preach in front of that particular crowd. I would absolutely love that. Do you think that Jesus would put on a pair of jeans and sit over in a corner and talk with this guy? You can bet your bippy he would. He would love it.
Well, I think the lady that I spoke with really was, she comes from more of a very traditional background of almost Catholic, but it's close. She likes the pomp and circumstance, and I didn't get the feeling that she was like a regular church attender. But they, I think what they're really offended at, not so much that Jesus is more normal and more available to us, but the fact that we've put a beer in his hand.
Good.
And I, well, that's the Bible Belt. Yeah. You know, the, it's...
That's the Bible offenders.
Well, and I don't think that this is going to get any controversy or much controversy on the West Coast or on the East Coast.
Well, I think it, I'd say on the West Coast it'd get controversy, but it'd be on the other side.
How do you mean?
Well, it would not be that, oh, wait a minute, we want to elevate Jesus. Or to, you know, but it would be like, why in the heck would he... Why in the heck would this guy want to talk to Jesus? Who, you know, what's this guy so much that you would want to have him in your crowd?
Well, I guess I was thinking more in terms of West Coast Christianity, because I have spent some years out there.
Yeah, you're right.
West Coast Christians are very different than Bible Belters. So
right.
I don't think it would be that big of a deal. That I think they would find it laughable that anyone thinks there's a problem with Jesus having a beer.
You know, the interesting thing is that I'm a fairly significant traditionalist. And here I'm taking the position that I'm taking on this. I'd say a number of people who know me might say, wow, I'm pretty much surprised that you take the position that you're taking. But as I read this or listened to this and began to think about it, I said, This is seriously doctrinally sound, and it's where I think a lot of seekers are. They want to know this.
Oh, I think it's what everybody wants to know.
Yeah.
You know, what happens when I leave here? What happens when the lights are out? And I thought it was a compelling song that I thought was interesting. But it is. It's interesting that it's on a country radio station by a country artist who is not typically a gospel writer. And I'd kind of like to know what his background is. I have no idea. Do you know anything about where the song idea came from? Or
I don't have the slightest idea about who he is, who wrote it, where he comes from. I know nothing about it. I've heard the song three times. I've kind of listened, you know, jotted down some thoughts about what he says in the words. That's as far as I've gone. But as I put down some things, here's what I believe this guy's saying. I'm willing to give you my time, my attention, my money, my focus, my respect. And I want to ask you some things, and I'm going to listen to what you have to say. Tell me what is not at the core of the gospel about those things.
Well, again, I don't want it all tied up with a neat bow on the box, but the fact is he can ask those questions, and he can give Jesus all of those things, and Jesus will answer him and has answered him.
Right.
And the fact that the listener goes away, I don't find it this big evangelical tool either, because the listener goes away the same way he came in. Now, to me, the gospel changes people. Not just to me. I know that the word of God and the gospel changes hearts. It changes lives. But in my mind, to give this even the power of a controversy, I don't see any big controversy about it, because I don't think it changes lives. Maybe it makes people ask questions, and if it does, then that's good. But I think people already ask these questions.
Let me ask
it
you.
It doesn't.
What do you think? What do you think Jesus' response would be to this? To him.
If he was invited to go and have a beer with him.
Yeah,
he'd go.
Okay, he'd go. Now, what'd he say? What would he say when he listened to these things? Would he say, "Hey, look, Chief, I gave you the Bible. Why haven't you been reading it? Don't you know these things? I mean, you're 35 years old. How many times have you been to church? How many times have you heard this? Come on, go read the Bible and come back, and we'll talk later." You think he'd say that?
No, I think he would. I think he would say the things he's already said. How are my mom and dad there?
Yeah.
And I think Jesus would answer him and say, "Yes, they're there.
Okay.
I'll be glad to tell them hi."
Okay.
You know, I mean, those are some of the things that he asked, the questions that he asked.
So he's having the conversation, and he's answering the questions for this young man, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I think that what's happened, this guy said, I want to engage you in conversations, Jesus, and I'm going to listen. And Jesus says, okay, go, ask. And he asks, and Jesus responds. And I bet you that he responds with the same level of humility that the man asked with. And therefore, what you've got is a dialogue, which is, I think Jesus wants a dialogue. He certainly wants us at some point in time to be still and know that I am God, so to speak, which is what he says. But I think he doesn't mind us asking questions and maybe even challenging. This guy's not even challenging. He's saying, hey, Lord, maybe I've heard all this, but I want to hear it. I want to hear it from you as best I can. And maybe this is contrary to it's probably contrary to the position that you thought I might take. Is that accurate or not?
That's accurate. But I do have a question that's probably a bit bigger kettle of fish.
Okay.
Now, I am a member of the Southern Baptist Church here in the Bible Belt.
Say that with respect. Southern Baptist.
Southern Baptist.
Absolutely.
I've never been on a committee that I didn't love.
I like the word that
I'll say this. This is what I'm speaking for myself. I am not speaking for my church. I'm not speaking for my Sunday school teacher. I'm speaking for me. In our church, it is, I don't even know if it's written anywhere, but it's kind of assumed that if you're going to hold a position of leadership, you're not going to have any alcohol. That's just part of it. Now, I don't understand that, but that's just something that we do. But it's not something that I personally discipline myself over because I think, oh, that's correct, and Jesus doesn't want me to have a beer. It is because I'm a member of that body of Christ, and I want to follow the rules that that body of Christ has set forth. It doesn't bother me a bit.
Understandable.
But there's nothing in me that says, oh, alcohol, you can't have alcohol, for heaven's sakes. That's right. Just awful. It's awful. But I don't think that Jesus turning water into wine has a whole lot to... I've heard that argument so many times. And that is correct. I'm not real sure why the church has taken this stance, where that came from, the alcohol, because I think the alcohol is what makes the problem. And frankly, this lady, and I don't mean any disrespect for her, if she's listening to the show, then that would be a good thing. But I got the feeling, and I could be completely wrong, but I got the feeling that this is a person who does not attend church very often. You know, the lady that I spoke to that said that it brings the holiness and purity of her God into question. I think that for her to have the strong opinion that she does, I think it's just ironic because she doesn't have a real relationship with what she's defending. I don't think she knows who she's defending, what she thinks is she's defending.
Well, here's what I would say.
Those with a strong opinion, I think, are those that don't understand it or don't participate.
I would say to her, God doesn't need your defense of him, but he wants to find someone with a pure heart of a learner and a follower. And I sense that that's exactly what this young man in this song is saying to him. He's saying to me. I mean, I'm humbled by the attitude of this that this comes across from this young man. Great attitude, humility. I think Jesus would love the meeting with this guy more than he would most of the church services that take place on Sunday morning. Because how many people say, wait a minute, I don't like that preacher. He's 6 minutes past 12. I'm not going to be able to get to the restaurant on time. And this guy's saying here, I'm not gonna look at the clock. I'll even put my watch. I think he said something about sit someplace where you can't see your watch or can't see a clock or something.
Can't see the clock.
Can't see the clock. Okay. So, yeah, I just think it's a great sermonette, so to speak. I think it's a great apologetic for what Christ wants from everybody.
Do you think it'd be appropriate to sing in a church service?
What you just said makes me want to go to, and I think I will, person who leads the singing at our church and say, I challenge you to sing this next Sunday.
I want to go. If whoever it is leads your music, does it, I want to go, because you're in the Bible Belt as well, and I would love to hear somebody try and get away with singing about Jesus and beer in the same song in the church, in a service. You really think that that would happen in a worship service?
Guy who leads our singing in our worship service has a mohawk, so what does that tell you?
Well, okay.
Maybe so. Now, I'm the only person who goes to...
He may crack... Okay, maybe he wouldn't sing a song about cracking open a bong, you know, or lighting up a bong, but I'll sing about a beer.
I doubt if he would, but I'm the only person at my church on Sunday morning with a blazer. I've got a blazer and usually a shirt, you know, and a pair of slacks, and so I feel comfortable doing that. I've come off of a shirt and tie at church, but I can't go down to the flip-flops and shorts. So that's kind of I'm in one of the non-traditional evangelical type churches of today where, you know, the music is just not exactly to my liking. I love to sing the old hymns, which are doctrinally sound. So that's all the more reason why the position that I'm taking on this particular song is, I guess, so unusual.
Do
this again, because I'm not sure we've solved anything here, and I think our time is about up.
Well, I challenge our listeners to go and listen to it. It's If I Could Have a Beer with Jesus, and I told you that I had the fellow's name written down, and I can't find it. It's what is his name?
I have no idea.
Oh,
I do not know what his name is.
Thomas Rhett. Here it is. Thomas Rhett, R-H-E-T-T, and it's just a. Just a hypothetical question, if I could have a beer with Jesus. But the fact is, you can have a beer with Jesus anytime. And probably he would welcome the invitation. We're going to have to go, and we'll have to pick this up at another time. I'm going to have to look into this and find out what my church thinks about it. But I do want to know, if your Mohawk worship leader over there starts singing about beer and Jesus in the church service, I have to see this.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to go and ask him about that. And if he does, I will get you a DVD of it and send it to you.
See, I think there's a difference in singing to the flock and singing to the lost.
Well, but the flock is, in this particular case, they're probably going to be the ones throwing the cabbage at him.
That's true. It's the flock. You know, we do kill our own. That's what we're known for the most.
Yeah, that's right. I'm going to be up there fending off those that want to attack him on this particular matter.
Well, I want to follow up. I want to know exactly what happens with this one. But listen, I want to thank our producer, J.P. Spann, and the fellows at Big Brains Media. And I want to thank you, Crash, because I knew you would know something about this. And you always make me think, and I appreciate that. And as we know from Christian experience, that iron sharpens iron, and dang, you're iron.
Hey, so, I'm often wrong, but never in doubt, right?
Hey. I look forward to talking with you again. Y'all, please come back.
Please do.
This is Just Talking It Up with Janet and Crash. To send an email to Janet or Crash, the address is feedback@justtalkingitup.com.